AM 1290 and 95.7 FM. News Talk Radio WHIO and Sim Trainer Indoor Range and Firearms Training Center present Shooting from the Hip. Straight talk about firearms, ammunition, self-defense, when and where you can carry, legislation, and legal issues. All about safety, training, and so much more. Your hosts are Jeff Pedro and Mark Avery. Jeff is a 24-year veteran police officer, currently assigned City of Kettering Detective, and owner and lead instructor at Sim Trainer. Mark is a retired Air Force officer, senior staff instructor at Sim Trainer, and NRA-certified instructor in multiple disciplines. They're here to bring to the microphone the truth about guns. Join them by calling 457-1290. Now, Shooting from the Hip. On AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM. News Talk Radio, WHIO.
I want to welcome our listeners to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip. I'm Jeff Pedro, in with Mark Avery from Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're located at 2031 Dryden Road in Moraine, just across from DP&L. You can visit us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com, or you can give us a call at 293-3914. That's 293-3914. If you'd like to get on the show today, give us a call at 457-1290. That's 457-1290, and we'd be glad to get you up in the queue and get you on the air. If you have any questions concerning firearms-related issues, or anything related that you want to talk about today. I want to remind our listeners about some upcoming classes at Sim Trainer that you might be interested in. Our award-winning First Shots class scheduled for next weekend is full, and we had already anticipated that, so we scheduled a second session, which will be offered on Thursday, August 19th from 6 to 9, and it's about half full, so it has about 10 slots still available. That's Thursday, August 19th from 6 to 9 for First Shots. First Shots class is designed specifically for people who have little to no experience with firearms, and it's a great opportunity for you to get exposed to the shooting sports and shoot a gun for the first time, or refresh your skills if you've had limited training in the past, and come out of there with a good understanding about firearm safety, range safety, and what you can do to enjoy the shooting sports. We also have an evening session of our concealed carry class starting on August 9th. That class will run Monday night, August 9th, through Thursday night, August the 12th, from 5:30 to 9:30. That's concealed carry from August 9th, Monday evening, through Thursday, August 12th, from 5:30 to 9:30. You just come. The first night's going to be basic introduction to the course and some of the basic material. Second evening is when you'll actually shoot on the range. Third evening is when our attorney comes in and discusses the legal issues surrounding concealed carry, both criminal and civil. Very informative. And for those of you that already have your permit, if you did not have a block of instruction on legal, it's very beneficial, and we offer that as a standalone, and that will be offered Wednesday night, the 11th. And then on the 12th, we do our wrap-up where we have we take the test, and we talk about a variety of other tactical considerations concerning concealed carry. Mark, do you have a comment you want to mention about that?
Even if for people that did have a legal section, which, I mean, obviously most of the classes do at least cover the legal requirements and understanding as described in the Attorney General's guidebook, but if they didn't have an attorney actually teach the class and didn't have someplace that they could go and ask questions, that's a tremendous difference, and you'd be surprised at just how much value you get from that. Many people have commented how that legal portion of the class was so valuable to them, even after having had their license for a while, or even having just gotten their license. What they got out of that legal section of the class is just super. And we do offer that as a separate class for people who want to just come take that. You must already have your license to carry a concealed handgun to be eligible to take that class. And it's only $49 to get that legal update. So it's a great opportunity.
It's a great deal, and Jim does an excellent job teaching that class. And he's been in this business since the beginning, way back in 2004, in the formative stages of concealed carry, and he's followed it all through, and he gives you good information. And I tell people all the time that the main purpose of our class is to emphasize the serious responsibility of owning, carrying, and potentially using a firearm in defense of your life or someone else's life, and he does a great job laying the groundwork for that that information. I also want to remind our listeners that we just started the first session of our summer T3 Tactical Training League, which is on Tuesday evenings. It starts about 5:30, and depending on how many shooters end up showing up, it'll go as late as 9 o'clock. But that's an opportunity for people who are experienced with their firearm to come out and put themselves under a little bit of stress in a very controlled course of fire. You'll go through a two- or three-stage course of fire whereby we will set up a designated scenario for you, and then you'll go through the scenario, and it's based your score's based on how well you shoot and your time. And I tell people that are interested in doing this, don't be intimidated. This is an opportunity to get as realistic a setting as you possibly can, preparing yourself for that ultimate confrontation. The combination of performing in front of your peers, working under the clock, trying to remember the course of fire, and the relatively challenging courses of fire that we come up with will certainly stress you and give you an opportunity to come to grips with the reality, you know, the physiological, psychological, and emotional changes that are going to take place if you get involved in the shooting. But that's Tuesday nights. We run that for 8 weeks. And we'll have a break in there a week from this Tuesday for a concealed carry class, but then it will run 6 consecutive weeks beginning the second week of August. And what you need to do, you just need to come 5 out of the 8 weeks if you want to compete for our prizes, which we give plaques away for first, second, and third place. But if you just want to come and test your skills, you can duck in anytime, and we'll probably ask you to talk to us a little bit about your firearms proficiency and some of your weapons handling skills, and then we'll take you through in a very structured way through the course of fire, emphasizing safety and accuracy over speed. And then the more comfortable you get as time goes on, you can increase your speed based on your own abilities.
We have a lot of people that come that actually don't shoot. They just want to come to see what it's like, check it out for the first time if they've never been in anything like this before. And we're perfectly happy to have people come do that. There's no charge to do that. You will need to have eye and ear protection, and we recommend you bring your own if you have it. But you can come in and just watch what's going on, participate by helping to pace targets and clean up brass and that sort of thing. But it gives you just kind of a sense of what goes on. And then, yeah, we do kind of recommend that people bring their equipment with them just in case they decide, you know, I think maybe I can do this. And it is, like Jeff said, it's a great opportunity for people to get a little bit of time behind their gun in a situation that you really can't do when you're standing in a stall. I mean, moving and shooting when you're standing in a 3-foot or 5-foot wide stall, you know, it's just not quite as useful. Those little teeny baby steps going back and forth side to side in the stall are important to learn how to get off the dime, but it's just not the same as moving 5 or 10 feet, moving away from a target as you are trying to engage it and make sure as you are going to cover that you place accurate shots and that sort of thing. So the whole Tuesday evening Tactical Training League is a great opportunity for people who are serious about using a firearm for personal defense, should that need ever occur, and to have honed those skills to the point where they don't have to think about the operation of their gun, what they're going to do, and all of those aspects that under stress you don't want to have to think about it, because that's one of the first thing that goes.
And I want to just emphasize the main difference between what we do on Tuesday night in our league and what some of the other competitive shooting leagues do. You know, fun and gun is a great thing, and it gives you a chance to practice your skill. But we're looking at more practical, tactical, realistic shooting situations. And our scenarios are developed based on real-life encounters where people out in the street have been involved in deadly force situations, both law enforcement officers, private security personnel, and private civilians. And we try to, as close as possible, replicate those circumstances and put them in ongoing training scenarios so that we give people an opportunity to practice realistic settings, realistic situations.
And that's not to take anything away from like IDPA, the Defensive Pistol Association, or USPSA, the Practical Shooting Association. Those are great opportunities to practice and get time behind your gun under stressful situations as well. But this is not what that is. Ours is a little different, and we think that what we offer is something that's a little bit unique, and it is an opportunity for people to focus more specifically on the tactical aspects.
Okay, before we go to the break, I just want to remind our listeners about a few more of the guns that we have for sale. I have one more of the Sig Sauer 522 rifles for sale for $399. I have a Sig Sauer P220 C3 45 ACP on sale for $749. We have a Walther PKS 380 semi-auto on sale for $399. We have a Ruger 10/22 tactical rifle for $259, and we have two Sig Sauer P232 380 pistols on sale for $549. And all but one of them, the Ruger 10/22, are all brand new firearms. The Ruger 10/22 tactical was fired one time at a fun shoot just to see what it was like, but all the rest are new in the box, ready to go, discounted out at great prices at dealer pricing, because we're going to replace our range guns at the present time. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about a variety of issues going on around the country. And again, if you want to give us a call at 457-1290, we'll be sure to get you on the air. You're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO. I want to welcome our listeners back to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip. I'm Jeff Pedro and with Mark Avery from Sim Trainer. I want to remind our listeners to keep in mind, if you're looking for products or you have firearms-related needs, our sponsors for the show, Vandalia Tactical up in Vandalia, Crossbreed Holsters, national chain that, or national company that has had tremendous success over the last year in the development and sale of their inside the waistband holsters. We just yesterday put our third large order in for the Crossbreed holsters. A great, great option for people who are looking for inside the waistband holsters. And also Steve Pearson, our attorney, who's been on the show a few times. The links to all of those businesses are on the website. If you have any information or you request any information, you want to get more information about those, the sponsors and the services they can provide, please visit our website at www.sim-trainer.com. I want to now kind of shift gears a little bit and talk a little bit about some national events that are going on. And I was particularly perturbed this past week, as many of you probably were, about some of the decisions, and one in particular, the injunction on the Arizona law prohibiting law enforcement officers out there from aggressively enforcing some of the immigration issues. And what particularly unnerved me today, I just heard that the guy who got the wiki information about all the military information released is thinking about moving forward regardless of any of the concerns he has for what the release of that information might do to people. We can't censor that, or I shouldn't say we can't. We're not going to go forward and try to do something to stop that, but yet we're going to try to put unnecessary roadblocks in the way of those law enforcement officers out in Arizona who are trying to do the right thing.
And oh, by the way, we've got other cities that are intentionally and decidedly not enforcing existing immigration law and prohibiting the enforcement of that law in what they call sanctuary cities, and that's perfectly okay. That's not a preemption of the federal government jurisdiction over immigration. Yeah, it absolutely is, and yet when it is doing what is already in the law and just enforcing it where the administration is currently choosing not to enforce it, oh, well, now we've got a terrible thing. Let's spend a lot of money and create a legal battle for the state of Arizona doing what's right.
When you know, as we've talked several times in this show, in less than 4 months, we the people are going to have a chance to speak around the country to try to change some of the craziness that's going on. And like Glenn Beck's talked about so many times in recent days, is instead of getting mad and just burying our head in the pillow, we have to get up and take a stance and take a legitimate stance. And our vote is the most powerful way. It's the most powerful way we can affect change. And I want to encourage you to get in tune with the issues, know what the candidates represent, and start that now so that you're not scurrying around at the last minute trying to get that done. And we're certainly over the next several weeks going to try to reach out. We've already reached out to several people who are going to be involved in some of the upcoming races and to see if they'd be interested in coming on the show and maybe talking about some of the issues they represent and some of the issues that are strong to their or close to their heart, and try to get some good information out to you. But I want to encourage you to do that on your own, because your vote is the single most significant way you can affect change. And this election, I predicted it way back on the first show of this year, it was going to be a landmark year, and I totally believe that it's going to be a landmark year. It's going to change the course of history if we get out and do the right thing.
You know, I hear coming back through the headphones people yelling at the radio saying, hey, listen, that's exactly what we've been doing. Every time we go and vote for something, you know, it's just crazy, nothing happens, and now look what we've got going on. Let me remind people something. Regardless of what the media will tell you, regardless of what the polls say, we have an opportunity every 2 years to completely replace the House of Representatives. There is every single representative has to be reelected every 2 years. There's a lot of talk about term limits and the need for that. They're already term limited to 2 years. And the only way they can have more terms than that is by the people voting to put them back in office. Now, if people don't do what's responsible and people don't look to see what their representatives are doing and seeing what they're saying and paying attention to what's going on and convincing their neighbors and friends and everyone else they know and letting them know what's going on as well, if they don't maintain that responsibility as a citizen and just let things happen, there's nobody to blame but ourselves. And that's exactly where we are. We need to accept responsibility. We need to be good citizens. We need to be responsible citizens. And we need to be active. We need to be able to speak to our representatives. My representatives know me. They have heard my name. They may not be real happy about it, but they hear from me often enough. And there are some that absolutely agree with our positions. And in fact, my state representative is one that was a sponsor of one of the bills that, actually co-author of one of the bills that would fix one of the problems that we have in our current concealed carry law. And, you know, I understand that he's on the same track, and I absolutely support him and his campaign because he's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. He's representing me. Now, there's a lot of people in my neighborhood. They don't all agree with me. I'm working on that. So that's what we all need to do.
You know, and our conservative views stretch well beyond the Second Amendment, because the reality is when you have a conservative base and ideology, it's going to extend to many of the issues that are currently in the fore, whether it's immigration law, a variety of other things that are hot in the hot topics right now. So you've got to get involved. You've got to be concerned. And if you're not concerned right now, I'm telling you, let this be a wake-up call. Because you just pick up the paper, turn on your computer, turn on the television and listen to the news. We have reason to be concerned because things are getting out of control. And we can stop that. We can stop that slide, and it's going to take a while to get things implemented. But we can stop some of the damage that's been proposed to have been done in things like healthcare and other things by the midterm elections and then ultimately in the general election in a couple of years. So we control the destiny.
One of the ways that we, the people, have that is through our donations, through our funding. And the governor of Arizona, Jan Brewer, has set up a website for people who want to help them in their defense against the federal government's usurpation of their authority as a state, and to has blocked their right or their ability to legally enforce the law that's already been passed by the citizens and signed by the governor. If you're interested in helping with that, you can go to keepazsafe.com. There's information about that. There's a place where you can make an online donation, or you can donate by check or money order. And it's a secure website. The donation website itself is actually an az.gov website. So that's if you're interested in helping out with that fight, that's one way that you can do that.
Mark, share with our listeners the information you gave me right there about the difference between Tuesday's and Wednesday's contributions. It was pretty significant.
It was very significant. There were contributions on the order of 39 contributions on the day before for about $3,500. And the next day, 69 donations for totaling $3,300. And the following day, on Wednesday, people donated over $75,000. There's now been $1.4 million contributed to support the legal defense against the Obama administration coming in and telling them that they can't do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, I'm sure that a significant part of that significant increase in donations had to do with the fact that the information got out on the news and people were infuriated by what they were hearing after the injunction was handed.
Yeah, and of course, they weren't too happy about the injunction either. We need to take a break at the bottom of the hour. We'll go in and have Liz Anderson give us some information on what's going on in the area from the News Center. We'll talk when we come back from the break, talk to Joe in Springboro, who has a question for us. And we'll take your call at 457-1290. Give us a call at 457-1290. We'll be back in just a moment on Shooting from the Hip. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. Let's go out to the phones. We haven't done that yet today, and we'll talk to Joe in Springboro. Joe, welcome to the show, and thanks for calling.
Thank you.
What's your question? How can we help you?
Well, I want to find out what I'm getting the feedback.
That's all right. We can hear you just fine. So pull it a little bit away from your ear and just talk away. We'll hear you fine.
Okay. What I wanted to find out is, as far as, you know, the laws regulating a gun in your home, in the car, and at a, possibly at a, if you're going on trip in a motel or a hotel.
Okay. You're talking about in basically in Ohio, I assume, to, for your in your home?
Well, yeah, and we go to Tennessee quite a bit.
Okay.
And actually go through Kentucky.
All right. I'm a little less familiar with the laws outside the state of Ohio, but I am familiar enough with Kentucky and Tennessee to know that their laws are similar with respect to having a gun in your home. There's no need for you to have any sort of a license, or there's no restrictions on having a firearm in your home. Obviously, you need to be safe with that, and if there's kids around, you obviously want to make sure that the firearm is stored in a way that there's no chance for them to get a hold of it or to do anything that would be dangerous. We have had some very tragic stories of things that occurred, and last year we had two kids in a week that found guns that were in an unsupervised and inadequately stored environment and shot themselves. So clearly that's something in terms of home. In terms of travel, if you're going to have a firearm in your motor vehicle in Ohio, it must be unloaded unless you have a license to carry a concealed handgun, and that applies only to a handgun. So all long guns would need to be unloaded, and the definition of unloaded is that there's no ammunition in the gun or in any magazine or speed loader that can be used with that gun.
Right.
And as far as a hotel is concerned, that typically that's up to the hotel. There's not any laws regarding that, but that's private property, and so the hotel may have their own policies, and you'd need to know what those are.
Right. Now, as far as firing a gun as an intruder, how can you safely, handle this?
Well, as far as using a firearm to defend yourself, if you are in your residence and you say, you use the word intruder, an individual breaks into your home and you feel yourself or someone else's life is in imminent jeopardy, or the great likelihood that they're going to receive death or serious bodily injury, that's kind of what they talk about when or how they define imminent jeopardy, you have the authority or you have the right to defend yourself by using a firearm to shoot at the other person to stop their deadly behavior. Again, the whole issue, it's based on fact-specific circumstances, and I'll just give you one, and this will, we can go from there. You're laying at home in bed, it's 10:30 at night, you've just laid down to go to sleep, all of a sudden you hear glass breaking, you go to investigate, you see the shadow of an individual who's intruded into your home, you fear for your life, you take your gun and you shoot him. Under that scenario, absent any other extenuating circumstances, the law is on your side. In especially the adoption of the Castle Doctrine in Ohio in 2008 or 9, where you have a right to defend yourself in your own home without a whole lot of explanation on your part, and a presumption that you're doing it justifiably in that particular instance. Do you have a specific fact situation that you would want me to address?
No, I think that pretty well covered it. Really, that was good for information for anyone that maybe that isn't familiar with all the law things.
Yeah, it's a tough situation, but I think we make it tougher by overthinking it. The bottom line is when you're looking at a situation when you feel your life is in jeopardy, I'm just going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to guess you're over 50 years of age, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm going to I say that because let's say the intruder is a 25-year-old, 6'4", 265-pound thug. There's no way that you should have to see if you could overcome his physical ability and try to throw him out of your house. That's unreasonable. And the courts look at reasonableness on individuals' actions to determine whether or not it's within the scope of the legal standards that have been set forth. And the bottom line is, if something like that happens to you, you don't have to engage in physical encounter, even try to determine what their reason is for being in your house. There's all kinds of ifs out there, and we if it too much. I'm telling you that if you're in your house, somebody breaks in when you're laying down to sleep or at any point, and you feel your life or someone else's life is at stake, then you're justified in using your firearm to defend yourself, period.
One of the things that happened with the law change that enacted the Castle Doctrine in Ohio, it didn't change that much, really. All it changed was the liability and the need for the district attorney or the prosecutor to prove something. And in this case, when you're in your own home, they no longer have to prove that you no longer have to prove that you had a duty to retreat or that it was self-defense. In your own home, now it's up to the prosecutor to prove that it was not self-defense. And as long as you're behaving responsibly and living in your own home and somebody at 2 o'clock in the morning breaks into your house, it's certainly understandable that you would believe and have a reasonable and honest belief that they were not there to do you, you know, to clean your house and to plant flowers.
That's right. And you never know what they're carrying either.
No, exactly right. Correct.
Okay, well, thank you very much. That was very informative.
Thank you for your call.
Thanks very much for being a listener to the show. Let's go and talk to Jake and Troy, who has a question about gun laws and health care. Jake, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great. How can we help you?
Yes, I'm hearing about this health care bill, how it's going to affect prices on ammo and guns.
Okay.
That's what I'm hearing talking about. It says, like... they're saying, like, guns kill people. Technically, they say guns kill people. Well, it's the idiot behind the gun that kills the individual. But I'm just questioning on that.
Good. You should question that, because that is flying around the internet, but it's not really based in fact. There's nothing in the health care bill that relates to that, at least as far as anyone has found yet. There were some rumors that something like that might get in there. But everything that I've seen so far says that that all of this is just rumor and fear. But it's really the people who oppose guns trying to spin up folks and get them to look a little bit silly, based on the fact that they're strongly opposing something that doesn't even exist.
Well, Mr. Obama opposed the gun laws that are the Second Amendment rights. So.
No doubt about that. And that's part of the reason why all of these stories are so believable, because those of us who understand his position, the position that he had on his campaign website, on his transition website, and then on the White House website during that whole period of time, said very clearly that although he supports the Second Amendment, he caveated it all over the place and said, you know, that doesn't really mean that people have an individual right to keep and bear arms. Yet we understand all of that. And you're absolutely right. That's the reason why a lot of people are believing these things that are coming out. But that doesn't make them true. And although they certainly could be.
What he made a statement on YouTube that he said, I don't have to just take your guns. I'll take.
Did I lose you? I'm sorry. I think we might have lost Jake. Oh, there he is. Come on. Are you still there?
Yeah, he made a statement that he said.
You're breaking up. There you go. Come on. One more time.
All right. There was a statement on YouTube he made. Bob made. He said, "I don't take your guns. I'll take your ammo."
Well, there's a lot of things out there that have tried to make draw the lines between the guns and the ammo. And here's the thing you got to remember, and I want to let all our listeners know this: the anti-gun people have to constantly put spins on things and attack it from every angle because they're talking about untruths. And what's really unique about this, and our show I think is a testament to what I'm about to say, we don't have to do a whole lot of explaining. Because the truth is out there, and anybody can find out the truth. And all the spin things that are going on, you're trying to get people's feathers all ruffled up, that's going on by the anti-gun people, it's for a purpose. And the purpose is to try to change the focus away from what is to what might be and try to put a false perception in people's minds.
And to scare people and to get people spun up. Jake, let me ask you to do something. If you can find something specific, now I'm not talking about a general statement that's like the one you described where he's saying that he would do something, but something that is specific, something that's in the law or something that's in a regulation someplace, email it to us at radio@sim-trainer.com and then we'll run it down. More often than not, these things have turned out to be false alarms. They're either somebody's fictional writing or something where somebody's proposing a possible way that something could happen. Ammunition tax, for example. I mean, the anti-gunners have proposed a 5 cent per round ammunition tax, which would end up being, you know, a huge amount of money in terms of increase on the cost of ammunition, but it's simply not happening. There's no support for that in Congress. There's no support for that, certainly in Ohio and most of the states as well. We need to take our last break of the hour, so we'll come back. Jake, thanks for calling. We'll be back after this break on give us a call at 457-1290. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. If you'd like to be on the show, give us a call at 457-1290, 457-1290, and Chris will take your call in the Master Control Center and get you up on the board. We will take and we'll try to get your topic up on the show. And while we're here, let's talk to Craig in Fairborn, who has a question for us. Craig, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Recently,
I was helping a friend with one of his pistols. He was very dismayed. He had bought a Beretta PX4,
okay,
and which, you know, is highly regarded as being very accurate. And he took it out and shot it and basically said he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. We took it back to the range and we put it on a rest at 15 yards and pretty much shot the center out of the target,
okay,
with three different brands of ammunition. But then he picked it up again and couldn't hit the target.
Okay.
You know, I stood to the side and watched him shoot and could tell that he was kind of dipping his muzzle as he fired, but I couldn't figure out exactly how to correct the problem. And, you know, I said, hey, you need to go to a professional. I want to get your advice on that.
I think you're exactly right. He needs to go to a professional, and we're the perfect place to do that. Nothing biased about that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But seriously, what you're describing is anticipation of recoil, and it is one of the most common shooting problems. People will tend to force the trigger to go off at a particular time. They'll say, and mentally they're thinking in the process, I've got the sights aligned, and gun goes off now. And then when they do that, they know exactly when the gun is going to go off, and they can't help but anticipate that recoil and brace for it, push against it, and that pushes the gun off the target. The other thing that people do sometimes is they'll see that the sights are moving around and you're shooting at 45 feet. That's a pretty good distance. You may want to bring it in a little bit because personal defense distance is usually 25 feet and less.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said 15 yards. 15 feet.
Okay. Well, 15 feet is a good – yeah, that makes yes. a big difference.
Yeah.
15 feet is a good place to do that kind of diagnosis. And then once you've resolved the question of – anticipating the recoil and get a nice smooth trigger press. The mental picture should be, I am increasing the pressure on the trigger. I feel the pressure increase on the inside of my finger as I'm focused on the front sight, and then, oh, the gun went off. If the gun went off occurs mentally, you don't know exactly when it's going to happen, then you won't anticipate the recoil.
Okay.
Craig, I want to also mention that we have a unique training protocol that we utilize down at the range, whereby once we get through the classroom portion of the class and we get out on the range, within about 20 minutes to a half hour and no more than a box, we can solve that problem.
Mm-hmm.
We use some dummy ammo and some different alternatives. And in addition to letting them know what their problem is, knowing how to correct it, and then give them an opportunity to practice to correct it, we solve that problem very quickly.
Right. Okay. Yeah, this is one of those things he carries regular, as I do, and you know, confidence wise, he was very, very dismayed that he may not be able to make a shot that he needed to.
Well, have him give us a call down at the range at 293-3914, 293-3914, or send us a message via the web, and we'll be more than glad to either set up a private lesson or get him in one of our classes to help solve that problem and get him to where he feels competent, because that's the key.
Yeah.
You mentioned carrying the gun's one thing. Having the individual personal confidence that when you have to use it, you can do that competently to save your life is another thing,
right.
And that's where we'll take him.
Right. I also had a quick question on caliber. You know, we hear everyone talk about, well, you know, it's only a 380 or it's only a 9. You got to have something big. You know, I have a whole slew of my own experiences from my job that I've seen people shot with different things, and, you know, I have my own opinions and my own experience. But can you offer, you know, maybe just a quick opinion on that?
Well, I will tell you, with rare exception, the single most significant factor in a real-life gunfight is where you hit them, not with what you hit them with.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it doesn't matter if you hit them with a 38, a 45, a 9mm, even in some cases a 22. The single most significant factor in a gunfight is where you hit them. Now, I will tell you, for just to kind of round this discussion out, we recommend nothing less than a 380 or 9mm for personal carry.
Or 38.
Or 38, obviously.
Right.
And then it just depends on your individual competence level with that particular round and being able to manage a recoil and get successive accurate shots off. So there's really not a whole lot of difference in the rounds as far as realistic ability to stop people.
Right. Okay.
Shot placement's critical.
Absolutely. Great.
Thank you for your comments. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Let's go talk to Henry in Springfield. He has a question. Henry, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. I just had two questions. I recently bought my wife a Beretta Tomcat 3032.
Okay.
And for home and also personal protection. Just wondering what your thoughts were that for personal protection for my wife.
Okay.
And
we'll start
also,
with
the steel carry laws. If there's any changes to that recently, and what's allowed and what's not.
Well, let me first of all start with the selection of the Tomcat. I got to ask you, first of all, is she an experienced shooter, and does she shoot it often?
No, not yet. She grew up around guns, but it's been a while since she shot, but she's interested in getting back into it again.
Okay, I will tell you, first of all, that is not the most friendly gun for a new shooter. And probably in the 6 years we've been in business, I've probably seen it two or three times. And what I want to encourage you to do is get her to a range and let her shoot a variety of guns. That's the one thing that we do to try to get people to find the gun that's best for them, as opposed to buying the gun and trying to make them competent with the gun. You let them shoot 6, 8, 10 different guns, and then you let them find the gun that's best for them, because in many cases, the smaller guns aren't best for the smaller people.
Okay.
That's the reality that we've found to happen over hundreds of people. We have them come with a small frame revolver or a 380 or a 32, and that's not the gun for them. And we're ending up getting them in some of the smaller frame compact 9mm pistols, and it works out a lot better. As far as the second question goes, there's been nothing real new in any of the concealed carry laws. There are some provisions that are kind of on hold, waiting for the legislature to get back in session this next session, and we hope that that'll come to exist. But it looks like we're running out of time. I want to thank our callers for their calls and their questions. Remember to tune in next week on Shooting from the Hip. You're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio WHIO.